We're here in the Congressional Corner with John Faso, who's running a furious race with Antonio Delgado. We'll have Delgado on pretty soon. John, let me ask you this. The Democrats have released an internal poll showing Delgado with a 7-point lead over you. Do you have different polling other than that?
Yeah, that poll is laughable. They never released any statistical data associated with it. It was a automated phone poll, and it has no credibility.
So tell us about how this works. You know, in a close race, and this is going to be a close race, and as I mentioned the other day, you know, this could be the difference between who controls the House of Representatives, your district. So do they poll for you? Do you poll for yourself? How does that work?
Well, all candidates poll, and then there are independent entities that will do polling as well. So voters in the district should get accustomed to the fact that a lot of these entities are going to be calling them up and trying to get them to state their opinions about various issues and various candidates. And it just goes with the territory. But the poll that the DCCC put out was a laughable poll because they didn't release any of the demographics that were associated with it. And when they don't do that, you know that something's fishy. It was just simply a poll, I think, to divert attention from the fact that my opponent is just recently moved into the district from New Jersey and New York, and that he has no real connection here, and that he's got a somewhat of a controversial past.
So, when you say controversy, just bring us up to date on that.
Well, that has to do with the fact that he had a partial career as a recording artist, where he wrote lyrics and words that were hostile to women and police and the United States and the free enterprise system. And it's a fair question to ask: does he still subscribe to those beliefs?
John, you have gone on record on this show, among others, that the Trump-Putin meeting was not to your liking. What was it about it that you didn't like?
Well, the president missed a gigantic opportunity to set the record straight on our belief about Russian interference in the election. Now, he also missed an opportunity take Putin to task on some of his foreign adventures, whether it's in the Ukraine or in Syria. And lastly, what I found to be the most astonishing was that he somehow equated the Russian point of view on the meddling with the election with the opinion of U.S. intelligence agencies, which I thought was completely out of bounds. So I thought the summit was pretty much a disaster for our side, and was not well handled. And I thought the president performed badly in it. And so I said so.
Why do you think this is, that the president seems to have so much affinity with the Russians at a time when he's saying bad things about all of our traditional allies?
I can only guess. I think what in the president's mind, I think he knows correctly that we do have to deal with Russia and we have to have a relationship with them. And I think this is part of his strategy to bargain and negotiate with Putin. But I think, on the other hand, it creates a terrible contrast to some of the things that are being said about our allies, particularly on the tariff issue with the Canadians, where the U.S. is using a national security justification to put tariffs on Canadian aluminum, for instance, and yet the Canadians pose no national security threat to the United States. Now, the president was correct, though, and when he took the NATO allies to task for the fact that they have not lived up to their commitment to spend 2% of their GDP on defense. He may do it in undiplomatic language, that is to be sure, but he was correct in his basic analysis on that point. So, you know, he is a disruptor. He is someone that is not a conventional politician and certainly not a conventional diplomat. And it's my hope he would become a little more diplomatic in this process.
Well, you know, Freud said character stops developing after the age of 4. What makes you think he's possibly going to change?
Well, I think that people in business and people in politics have to change sometimes with the circumstances. And I think that if one path doesn't work, he needs to take another tact. And I do think the approach that he's taken on tariffs in particular is not well thought through. I think if we had focused on the theft of intellectual property by the Chinese and some of their business practices, which violate the WTO standards, which they signed, that would be one thing. We would be able to attack that in concert with the Canadians and the Mexicans and the European allies. But instead, we are on the verge of a trade war with everyone. And I think that is not a good thing. And also, Alan, you have to notice that the Japanese and the EU are about to sign a trade agreement. Many of our South American friends are signing trade agreements with the EU and others. So the international trading system is not going to change because the United States decides to sit out. So it's really important that the United States be an active participant in that regard. Remember, we're only 5% of the population of the world, but we're 25% or so of the world's economy. So it is absolutely necessary that we trade internationally, especially for agriculture and for other products, goods and services that we sell.
John, I wanted to switch subjects with you for a minute, and we'll come back at the next time we have a chance to talk and talk about Mueller. But I wanted to ask you about the convictions of Calieros, Dean Skelos, Shelley Silver. Right now, Governor Cuomo is way ahead in the polls. You and he have not always been the best of friends. What would you expect if you both win? What would your relationship be like? What would you aim for?
Well, I would aim to have a working relationship with whoever is the governor, and if that happens to be Andrew Cuomo again, I would aim to do that. He has certainly made it very difficult with the animosity that he has extended. We have policy differences, but that does not mean that elected officials who have policy disagreements can't work together on issues to advance the interests of our state and our districts. So I would hope that regardless of who is elected, to have a productive relationship with whoever is governor.
Do you think that Mark Molinaro, who seems to be running way behind in the polls, is the right candidate for you to be running against him?
I think Mark is an excellent candidate. I've known him for many years, and I think that he's a strong, charismatic individual. He has an uphill climb, and I know how difficult it is, having run for governor myself. This is a largely Democratic state. But I think there are a lot of people that are frankly dissatisfied with many of the policy stances that Governor Cuomo has taken. And look, Alan, people just keep leaving upstate New York. I mean, they continue. There's a brain drain and there's a job drain and there's an exodus of people out of upstate New York. And largely, Andrew Cuomo has not done anything to stop it.
Should he be held responsible? I only have a minute here, but should he be held responsible? He came in, he said he was going to change things, he said he was going to clean things up, and his top people seem to be going to jail. What do you think of that?
Certainly he should be held responsible, but most importantly, he should be held responsible for his failure to do anything to help the upstate economy. The top-down approach of government-driven incentives does not work. The average business person in upstate New York is being crushed by regulatory impositions from Albany, and Governor Cuomo hasn't done a thing, hasn't lifted a finger to change it.
But you said recently in a previous interview that things were better upstate since you got to Congress.
Well, they're better from the standpoint of federal tax policy, and they're better from the standpoint of the incentives that federal tax policy and regulatory reform has provided. But businesses still have to deal with the onus of Albany affecting adversely their businesses.
Always good to talk to John Faso, Republican congressman from New York's 19th District. John, when we come back the next time, I want to talk Mueller.
Thanks, Alan.